You're listening to Focus on Community with members of the Juno Reentry Coalition, Kara Nelson of Haven House, Christina Wigg, who works at Search, Daryl Webster from the Department of Corrections, and Don Habiger, Community Coordinator for the Juno Reentry Coalition. This is Terry Tibbett, your moderator, and the interview was recorded on June 27, 2016. We now join it in progress.
And then we had a relationship, or the coalition entered into a relationship with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, and that relationship produced a grant. The grant was made available for staff to come on board, and now we're in the process of writing a community reentry plan, formalized plan that actually puts boots on the grounds as far as coalition, potentially staff, so that we can really start connecting folks to services.
Yeah, this is Kara, and I just want to jump in as someone who's been a part of the coalition since its inception a couple years ago. I believe it was in 2013. Years go by so fast anymore. And Christina was as well. And one of the really unique things we have in Juno is that we started out with Department of Corrections, Brent Wilson, and Katie Chapman with NCAD, and kind of these main agency and forces that just saw this need and came together, University of Alaska, Salt Neely, many others. You know, we came together and just continued meeting. We didn't, we had a vision at that time, didn't quite know how it was going to work out. And here we are now in partnership with the trust, now in partnership with, you know, the state, really utilizing that incredible system that we had the foresight to see, all of us together. And so, you know, I think it's really, it's just a new, to me, as someone who's been a part of, and obviously someone also who was formerly incarcerated at that time, I had only been out of prison a few years, and it really gave a purpose and a passion of mine because of being incarcerated and seeing some of the things that could go differently and kind of hitting those barriers that felt like impossible to get through. And we had hope at that time. And there were quite a few of us at that time who just really have never stopped. And we've gathered many more individuals along the way, many more agencies, many more government and state local agencies. And so it's really exciting to move forward now with having a community coordinator, because it was volunteer prior to now. And there's no limits, and it's really coming together, not just on a local and state level, national level, and really bringing it together and moving forward and making a real difference. Those barriers were impossible to get through prior to now, and we're watching people walk through them time and time and time again. It's only going to get better with the collaboration of everyone in the community building.
Anyone have anything to add?
Hi, this is Christina. I agree a lot with what Kara is saying. This reentry coalition has definitely helped shape me and who I am today and where I'm going. It's helping me to pursue a lot of my dreams and my passion in helping out others. And without this coalition, I wouldn't have been able to see how deep this community really needs its help, how deep I really needed it years ago, and how I still do every day. You know, this struggle for the need for help for reentering citizens, it doesn't stop every day. And so with this coalition and with everybody's help, I believe that we can continue to help strive to make change, you know, each day, and hopefully in that, change the hearts and the minds of people in making Juno a safer, better place for all of us here. And I'm just hoping with this, you know, we can get to a, you know, a better place with this reentry coalition, and that we can grow this reentry coalition even better and get more people involved and understand exactly what we're doing and what our purpose is.
So what can I ask, just when we use the word coalition, that implies that there are lots of different entities that are part of, that are coming together. Who are some of the entities that are part of the reentry coalition?
I'll take that one on, Terry. This is Don for the audience. And really the coalition in the very broadest sense is community. But there are those that have rolled up their sleeves and joined us on a monthly basis, on every other monthly basis. And we have several meetings a month, some at the leadership level, the steering team level, some at the community level. But coalition could be state agencies, for example. We have several. We have Department of Health and Social Services. Certainly we have Department of Corrections. We would like to expand that to include Alaska Housing Finance. Love to see them there. Had the CBJ there with their housing folks. So it could be any of those. And it's just community as well. We can't forget those that just come in and add their voice to the development of what our community should look like when we invite somebody to re-enter after incarceration.
So some of the, I think I read that some of the people involved, some of the agencies, there's also there's some treatment providers there involved. Are there substance abuse treatment, mental health treatment folks? There's, I know there's some peer support groups, and I mean, who are some of those folks that are involved?
So we have
not the names of the people, but the
names. We have Gastineau Human Services. There's I already mentioned NCAD is thoroughly.
And NCAD stands for National
Council on Alcohol and Drug Dependency. There is. NAMI is thoroughly invested.
National Alliance for Mental Illness.
Yes. And we've had, like Dawn was saying, I mean, the different meetings attract different crowds at times. And then sometimes people want to just be a part of some of the work groups that are involved. Early on, you know, everyone that was involved early on, I believe, is continuing to do that. There's also the
Clinkett and Haida Central Council is involved.
Second Chance Act.
Right.
And I know that they're, not to mention all the people who have experience with incarceration, the individuals who are part of the coalition as well. So it's not just a lot of agency people.
No, not at all.
Okay.
We actually started a few years back in partnership with the Probation Office and the Juno Reentry Coalition and Haven House and NCAD and individuals and peers just coming together and really trying to, map out what does this peer support look like. We have a lot of 12-step programs in our city, but let's get a little bit further than that. Let's have a lot of different options and pathways for recovery within reentry. And then also people that only identify with trying to come out in, with reentry and maybe don't identify with the recovery from substance use and mental health disorders. What kind of path can we make for them, too, so that they have peers and they have mentors and they have a roadmap, per se? Because sometimes when we're coming out, I know for myself, I'm going to listen to a peer, maybe, even just to get in the doorway to fill out that paperwork or whatnot. It's not as overwhelming when you see your friend who sat in prison with you and they're making it, or they got housing, or they're filling out this paperwork, or who do I call for this? And then to come together and be able to be a part of something larger with these agencies that were super scary. I don't know, I wouldn't say scary, but it just felt very overwhelming.
Intimidating.
And a lot of times we've burned our bridges at all of those places. And so where do we go now? It's just very hopeless, it seems. And so this really creates a space to empower other leaders that have come through the system and really made a difference and been successful, but also empowered agencies and different organizations. They were also at a crossroads, like, what do we do? And so I believe that the key here is the collaboration, building community, and really hearing each other on a different level than what's ever been done before, which I am seeing right in front of my eyes.
Great. And Daryl, to finish up on that.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that
that when we talk about a coalition and a community coalition, we're not just talking about government service providers or non-government organizations. They, of course, have been very important in the early stages of this program because they're organized and they're staffed and they're financed. But as this project matures, then the true community nature of it has to come into play, because we're talking about the things that people need most, employment. And so private employers become part of this coalition, and housing, and so landlords become part of this coalition, and there's enormous room for faith-based organizations to help with family reunification and that sort of thing. And so when we speak of a coalition, we're not just talking about what we are now, but the greater and bigger thing that we are going to become.
Great. Yeah, I agree. I just wanted to jump in real quick about the Department of Labor. They've also been a crucial piece from the very get-go, going in the prisons, coming to every meeting, being a part of, and making space where we didn't have prior to really get people employed, you know, where they wouldn't see it before. So
very good. Good. Well, thank you for that. And I just want to, if you're just tuning in, I want to let everyone know that this is a focus on community tonight here on KTOO Radio. And tonight we're featuring participants in the Juno Reentry Coalition. And we just got through explaining what the Reentry Coalition is. Is there a number or a website that we can go to? I guess not quite yet.
Under development, Terry.
Yep. Okay. So. But soon you can Google Juno Reentry Coalition and read more about it. But it's about to get up and running, their website. All right, so if we can, let's go on to another question here. I wanted to ask, I know that the Juno Reentry Coalition is part of a larger effort that is going on statewide called the Alaska Prisoner Reentry Initiative. And maybe somebody, Don, could you jump in and talk a little bit about what is that larger effort that the Juno Reentry Coalition is part of, the Alaska Prisoner Reentry Initiative?
Certainly, Terry. That is an effort that actually was brought into place, or at least I know it officially came into being with the governor's blessing back in May. But it's an effort that is kind of spearheaded by the Department of Corrections, Daryl's team, and the whole process or the whole concept of the initiative is to make sure that somebody, while they are incarcerated, goes through assessment. Evidence-based is really important to make sure that if we're going to deliver a service, that it has a track record of actually making an improvement. So evidence-based from an assessment, and then trying to connect that individual with their work as far as what is now called the InReach process. But the InReach process is a local facility like Lemon Creek, bringing in a coalition, could be a community member, could be staff like myself, and sitting down, determining what is the best exit strategy, putting that exit strategy together, that's called an offender management plan, and then working that upon reentry. And there's implicit to this immediate handoff. Instead of somebody trying to figure it out themselves and maybe not succeeding, it is at least making them available to immediate services, get connected if they choose to do that.
And I understand there's more than just the Juno Reentry Coalition operating under this Alaska Prisoner Reentry Initiative. Can you name the other ones?
Certainly. Juno is one of four pilot sites, if you will. And Fairbanks, Mat-Su, and Anchorage are the other three in the state, Juno being the fourth.
Great. Anything else about Alaska PRI? Okay. And I know that SB 91, Senate Bill 91, passed this year. And this was a piece of legislation that did some criminal justice reform. And how does SB 91 fit into the Juno Reentry Coalition? What are some of the – does anybody remember some of the provisions of the bill that are going to support the efforts of the Juno Reentry Coalition and statewide coalitions?
I'll comment on that, Daryl Webster. The main effect on the Juneau Coalition, of course, is the AKPRI plan and framework, because that's what the Department of Corrections set out to do, was to take all the energy that was building up in the communities here in Alaska and begin to focus it through a plan and through structure. SB 91 will have some significant impacts, but indirect impacts. For example, offenders releasing from institutions will have a more immediate and rapid need for support when they get out.
Mm-hmm.
What happens now is that an offender releases from incarceration, and they may have post-release supervision from a parole probation officer. But what happens after that? And that's where the coalition will come in, is providing that kind of care and support to people once their official supervision ends. And of course, the AKPRI plan envisions the coalition's becoming involved in that process even before people release from institutions. So we may see people from the coalition becoming involved 6 months before an offender releases, trying to find out what he needs and how to help him with that. Mm-hmm. The other way that SB 91 affects us is that Department of Corrections will be preparing treatment plans for people who are facing very short-term incarcerations, mm-hmm. say 30 days and more. And that's not a lot of time to make an impact in someone's life, but it's an opportunity to get started. And so the question then becomes, what happens on day 31 when that person steps out and they don't have a job, or they don't have housing, or they're alienated from their family and they need help? And that's where the coalition is going to have to step in.
Mm-hmm. And how will the coalition step in?
That's part of what we're trying to organize, and there's a little bit of latitude in the Alaska PRI framework to allow the different regions to evolve differently. And so there will be somewhat different plans for each of them, and we're still developing what that will look like here in Juneau, but I think what we're probably coalescing around is a framework where the coalition provides people to become expediters for persons who are releasing from incarceration. And in other words, find out what it is specifically that they need before they need it while they're still incarcerated. Find out what's available in the community and then make that connection with people.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Do you have something to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that was a great explanation. Thank you, Daryl. Part of the vision that I have personally, and as someone who's involved with the coalition and someone that works with women coming out of prison, is really creating these supports in the community, which should have been there all along. And I think to me, SB 91 is really, it's just that it's smart justice. And we know this. We know that the majority of folks that are incarcerated at this time are there with mental health and substance use disorders. And so wouldn't it be amazing if we created these supports in our communities instead of expecting Department of Corrections to take the catch-all for it all without having these supports out here now? What I've seen in the coalition and in several different coalitions in our specific, in Juneau and around the state, is really coming together. And it's happening kind of simultaneously. So maybe before it was a real fear that we don't have any supports, which was true. We did not at that time. But the cool thing is there's several things going on and several layers at the same time that are all, it's like we're changing policy as we're building it, as we're creating it, as we're living it. I don't know how else to explain it except, you know, it's something that really fuels my passion to be a part of a coalition and then also a part of other coalitions that have more of a streamlined goal and mission. For instance, homeless housing, you know, the opioid task force we have here, you know, and just different groups of people that all intersect and realize that we haven't had those supports prior to now, but they are all coming to fruition almost at the same time, and couldn't be a second later, you know. One of the things, another point that Daryl was making was really providing you know, this kind of expediting these services. And, you know, we do that to a very small scale right now. And what I see with not just SB 91, but in general, because those supports haven't been available prior, is that, you know, really focusing on having not just the case management type services, but really having those peers in every single arena and every single place, and then being able to just network it throughout the community in many different areas.
Very good.
Terry, if I can add something.
Sure.
One of the responsibilities that my steering team, which is real similar to a board of directors from a nonprofit. We're not a nonprofit. We're a group of concerned citizens. But my steering team has tasked me with sustainability. How are we going to continue to do what we're doing today, tomorrow, next month, next year? And part of that, part of the answer is in SB 91. There was a big discussion in the legislature about community reinvestment, and SB 91 provides an avenue for that reinvestment to come back to communities in Alaska. Those that are working on the problem can, it looks like in the future, through a number of fiscal notes, get access to additional grant money so they can continue and become sustainable.
Very good. So that's anybody else have anything to add on that? Well, so let's talk a little bit about what the work groups are doing. Like, what are some of the things that the Juno Reentry Coalition is undertaking right now? And just before we answer that question, I just want to remember to let everyone know that might have just tuned in. It's 7:29 right now, and you're listening to KTOO Radio in Juneau, Alaska. And we're on this show tonight, the focus on community, a regular KTOO show. We are focusing on the Juneau Reentry Coalition, which is a coalition of members that are working on a lot of issues related to reentering the community after incarceration for returning citizens. So we have four members of the coalition, the Juneau Reentry Coalition, here in the studio, and looks like Christina is going to answer the question about what the coalition is up to right now. What are some of the things that they're doing in the community, coalition members?
All right. Thank you, Terry. The work group that I chair, the Community Education and Outreach Work Group, currently right now, I'll just give you a couple updates. We are working on the Juneau Reentry website page, and we actually just had another meeting about it today, and we are making some good progress. A few of us are kind of going over some ideas and what that looks like and how it can be user-friendly for reentering citizens, for agencies, and yeah, just basically going over, you know, the ideas, and hopefully working on getting that up and going soon so that people can have a place for resources, and yeah. Another thing that we are doing too is Chris Sell with JPD.
Juneau Police Department.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is doing once a month at the end of each month a success story on their JPD Facebook website page. And the first one will be featured on June 30th, so that might be something to look up and see.
On the Juneau Police Department Facebook page?
Yes.
And that, what exactly will that be?
So basically it's like, you know, usually on the JPD crime line of the week or something, mostly it's about, yeah, mostly it's about what's going on in the world that's bad or in Juneau. This is going to feature reentering citizens that are successful.
And telling their personal story.
And telling their personal story.
Oh, that'll be
changing
interesting.
Their lives around. So, yeah, this will happen every month at the end of each month. So, again, yeah, that'll be something to look up, like their Facebook page, and you'll be able to see the updates on that. And again, mm-hmm, the first one is June 30th. That will be up on that page.
Great.
And another great thing that we are doing is, thanks to Terry Tibbett, we have got an Adopt a Highway sign for the Juno Reentry Coalition, and that is going to be located at North Douglas Highway in between 4 and 5 Mile. It's pretty exciting. It's one of the ways that Juno Reentry Coalition can give back to the community. We'll be cleaning, I believe it's 2 to 3 times a year, volunteering and doing that 3 times a year. Yes, thank you, Terry. So that'll be exciting for the coalition to get together and be able to give back to the community and do that. I'm in hopes that we will be working on some panel presentations in the upcoming future of peers and providers around town. Again, that's to be determined when that's going to be, but we are looking at where and when that's going to be, possibly one at UAS and possibly one downtown.
And what will those do, panel presentations?
We did them before at the Northern Lights Church, where we had the community was invited, and we had some peers go up and tell their stories and kind of got the community involved and aware of what was going on with the Reentry Coalition and
kind of what it's like to transition out and
yes.
Reentry stories and stuff from people who have. And when we're using the word peer, I think we should clarify we're talking about people with lived experience with incarceration.
Yes.
That's in this sense, that's what a peer
yes.
is here. Okay, good.
Yes, indeed. Great. And then that way it's just, again, it's just to invite the public and for the peers to be able to share their story and for the public to be able to feel welcome and understand it from our point of view and to also be able to ask us any questions if they have any or concerns as well.
Great. Good.
And one of the big things that we're hoping to do, again, is we, for the last 2 years, we've done a recovery fest, and we did one at Twin Lakes and Sandy Beach, where we would like to do something like it, but a reentry type recovery fest. We're not sure on the date of that yet. We were thinking August, but we'll have to see kind of what that looks like and see what we can pull together. But a time where we can gather the whole community together of reentering citizens, family, friends of those, or even just the general community to be able to come and celebrate recovery and people reentering, and a time to get to know what we're doing, what the Reentry Coalition's all about, and yeah, just a time to celebrate success and reentry. So, and I'll let Kara speak on any more if she has anything more to add.
And we're talking now about the different work groups and what they're working on.
Thank you, Christina. Some of the other work groups we have is our peer support work group. I chaired that work group prior to my current position with the coalition, but I still am chairing while we're mapping that out. And anyone that's interested in joining the coalition, just show up. You know, these are all things that we want to provide for everyone to be a part of. So a couple of years back.
If they're going to show up, where did they show up to?
So they're going to show up to the, we normally have our daytime. Don, you want to take that one?
We have once a month community meeting. And the easiest way to get information to you is me emailing out to the what I call the community at large list. And if they are willing to drop me a line, email is the easiest, and I'm going to give that over the air. It's D. Habeger, D-H-A-B-E-G-E-R at A-C-S Alaska, A-C-S-A-L-A-S-K-A.net.
And I've heard you give your phone number out before.
Are certainly.
So in case someone couldn't write that fast enough, could you give your phone number real quick?
Absolutely. They can always give me a call. And the number is 321-4970. And I'm happy to connect them with information. We meet, we have an evening meeting, which is typically at Northern Light United Church. It is the third Wednesday of every month. And the third Thursday of every month is a, and we alternate, is a daytime meeting. And we choose to, or the steering team wanted to have an evening meeting to get a different, if you will, voice injected into the planning process. And the daytime meeting is also tends to be a different voice injected in the process. So that was the steering team's desire.
Great. So, and if that sounds convoluted and you didn't get it, you can call Don at 321-4970 and he will explain it to you or write it out in an email. And Daryl had something he wanted to say too.
At the Department of Corrections, we're moving on several different fronts. We call our biggest effort inReach, and that's where if we can't reach out to people outside the facility, which really isn't our role, we bring people into the facility to the people who need it there. And so a number of the things that we're looking at are making it easier for volunteers to come into our facilities to bring services to people who are incarcerated there. And so we are looking very closely at how we can increase the number of people who come into the facility and how to facilitate that so that they can easily move in and out of the facility and do their work. Right now we're sort of calling that a super volunteers program, and we're working very quickly on that. We also are trying to beef up our job training at the facility so that people learn practical skills that they can use outside, such as developing computer literacy or developing skills at things like forklift operations. And then another thing that we're doing is employing our very active educators at the facility to get the GED program robust so that those who have not graduated from high school have a basis for leaving the institution with an education. And then, of course, University of Alaska Southeast has been an active supporter, providing undergraduate access to people who are leaving the facility. And then one other thing that we're doing that I think is very exciting is that the institution is actively promoting the work of artists who are incarcerated. And so we provide facilities and in cooperation with SeaLaska, materials that these artists, some of them extremely talented, can use to develop their skills and produce some really breathtaking works of art.
And I think I understand too that not for your inReach program or inReach effort, there are people coming in from the employment agency to help people fill out applications and understand some of the processes that they'll have to undertake when they do get out. People who are getting ready to get out. This happens, I guess, right?
And right. When you look at the areas that we're really focusing on as a coalition, they're the basic needs that people have when they get out. Where am I going to live? What am I going to do to support myself? What am I going to do for medical care? And how do I put my family to get back together? And so those are things that can't wait. They can't wait until you walk out the door. And so we want to open our door and bring in people who can help our folks inside the institutions to have a leg up when they get out.
Great.
And hit the ground running.
Great. And I understand the Juno Reentry Coalition has been working on some of those inReach efforts, bringing the housing people in and bringing some education stuff in, you know, different.
Southeast Alaska should be very, very proud of the Juno Coalition. And some of the people here in this room, like Kara and you, Terry, who have been at the forefront of this thing long before it coalesced statewide. And so we find that now that the enthusiasm at the local level has sort of matched up with the organization at the state level, Juno is the tip of the spear in Alaska for development of this coalition.
That's great to hear. Thanks for that. And it looks like Christine has something to add.
Yeah, just real quick, back to what Terry and Don were saying on how to get involved if you want to be in a work group or come to a meeting. We have two Facebook pages, the Juno Reentry Coalition and the Juno Recovery Community. So if you wanted to look those up, every time that there's a meeting, we would like to invite you to it. So if you'd like to look those up, all the information will be on there for each time that there's a meeting.
So we're going to finish up with the work groups, talking about what the work groups, some of the other work groups, what are the names of some of the work groups? You just talked about the community outreach and education work group. Mm-hmm. You've talked about the peer support and the family support. So what are some of the active ones that are doing things right now?
So the family support work group has been meeting regularly, and I mean, I think it's just a crucial piece to really learn to reunify with your family, but on many aspects. There's a lot of different ways that could go, and right now we're meeting just to come up with ideas on what's the most powerful, effective way to meet the needs of those who are coming home before and after incarceration. So one of the things we've been talking about very adamantly is about, you know, parenting skills and having children as you come out. It's one of the most difficult things when you're dealing with OCS or family members who don't understand, and trying to just, as parents and as mothers, you know, when you're incarcerated, and fathers as well, when you're incarcerated, your entire family basically is also incarcerated. And so you have to mend relationships and try and move through those things. So that's one of the things that we've been discussing, and we've had some really great speakers to do that. There's also the Behavioral Health and Wellness Work Group, and they've been meeting regularly. The Alaska Native Work Group, headed up by Talia Ames from the Second Chance Program, and Behavioral Health, that's you, isn't it, Terry?
Yeah, but I'm the moderator. I'm not supposed to talk.
Okay. So, great work group. So, we do have some very active work groups. Some of the work groups that we've had in the past that we're looking for facilitators for is the housing work group. We all work in these capacities in many areas, but we need people to really spearhead, kind of really
lead.
Yes, lead, yeah. these very crucial pieces. So we have law enforcement. Chris Sell is our superstar. We just love her, and she has just been really great about many things within our community, but specifically with the Reentry Coalition and the Alaska Statewide Criminal Justice Commission. We are looking for a faith-based work group chairperson, and currently we have one of our co-chair positions that is open, which would be another field probation officer within the Department of Corrections, which really makes a nice flow of different collaborations in making this all work. I was started to talk a little bit about the peer support work group. I don't know if we have how much time. Okay. I just wanted to just share real quick, you know, a couple of years back, we actually had John Shinholzer come up from the McShin Foundation in Virginia, and he did a recovery coach training with us. And at that time, it really shifted the peer support vision of really understanding what this meant, what we could do, and they're just doing amazing things in Virginia, both within corrections and within the recovery community. And so about five of us went through a training, and then there's been other, you know, peers that have come in with lived experience. And so in the future, we're really looking at taking that experience and really taking it to another level, both having a recovery coach training in the community, which NCAD has graciously took on, you know, within the community, and then having the Juno Reentry Coalition really take on a Department of Corrections aspect, where we could have this coaching and then also have a guideline in place so we can be super volunteers, or, you know, have this some kind of guideline where people that maybe have prior criminal records may be able to go through this system of having a few years under their belt and then being able to go back in the prison to be peers. Or at least they'll be able to do that out here early on. So there's a lot of things in the works that are super exciting. They've been done before. It's nothing new in the nation, but here it is. And so it's very, we're also working, you know, in collaboration with Anchorage, where they have a lot of peer support networks right now. They're just rocking it with Cook Inlet Tribal and just a lot of things around the state that have really come up recently. So look for that. It'll be on our website and our Facebook page. And, yeah, we're excited.
Great. Awesome. This is great stuff. Well, it looks like we have about little less than 50, about 13 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we talk about what Dawn's working on with the community assessment. And again, if you're just tuning in, we are talking with some of the members of the Juno Reentry Coalition, which is reentry from incarceration. And it's a coalition of volunteers and agencies, organizations, individuals who are working on a variety of issues to address reentry after incarceration. Anyway, Don, he spoke earlier about a community assessment, and that's something that's required of the grant that is paying your salary. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that community assessment.
Certainly. Making informed decisions is best when you have the data to support those decisions, and that's really what the community assessment is. It's a work that started in December of last year, and the task was to go inventory our community, see what kind of services were out there, and there was a broad spectrum of categories. Housing, for example, could be low income, it could be the private market, it could be any pieces of our housing market, but behavioral health, substance abuse treatment, looking at all of those things that are each of our organizations, whether they're private, nonprofit, anybody. We didn't really look at, we didn't look at state agencies per se. They're pretty well-known entities, so we were trying to inventory our community and its assess and their services, So we were looking at how many are currently serving those coming out of incarceration. We were asking about sometimes tough questions. What's your budget? And we were just trying to determine what kind of spend we have in Juno on not only those coming out of incarceration that need help, but also any human service or social service. So all that to say that the assessment was an effort to get a, if you will, a flavor or a data set of what our community currently has. That data set then will inform the community at our meetings that you can all are invited to, and then we will use that data set to help us determine what is a barrier. Can we get housing for those coming out of incarceration? If we can get housing, what market share can we grab? And we all know that housing is a difficult problem for our community. So it may go in the category of a barrier or maybe even a gap. Well, we can get housing, but if we start 6 months ahead of the curve, we can probably get them fitted in. Or doesn't matter if we start 12 months, we just can't find housing. So that's what the assessment does. It helps us make wise decisions on how to best focus our resources.
Great. And you, so when you say resources as they pertain to people, how to help people.
Going back to the work groups, absolutely. Behavioral health and wellness. Should they be working on moral recognition therapy, or should they be looking at substance abuse, and how are we going to get more of that?
Not substance abuse, substance abuse treatment is what you want more of. Great. All right. Well, that answers that question really well. Thanks for that, Dawn. And I guess we have just a time for one last question that I think is pretty broad, so everybody feel free to chime in on this one. What are some of the Juno Reentry Coalition's short-term and long-term goals? I know we've spoken a lot about goals. I think maybe just something that we haven't covered yet already. Anybody?
Well, I can speak to that in a general sense. Dawn has touched on one of our biggest short-term efforts, which is to begin by understanding the environment that we're living in right now. What are our needs, and how well are we going to be able to provide for those needs? And if there are barriers or gaps, how do we overcome those things? So we're trying to, in the short term, get an idea of what's the environment that we operate on. And then as we begin implementation of this of the plan that we're developing, then we're going to start matching up needs to service providers. Those are short-term things. The long-term goal that we've got our eye on, of course, is reducing recidivism, reducing crime, because for every person that we can help to not recidivate, not only are we helping that person, but we're preventing a victim from becoming a victim. There's someone out there who will not be harmed because we were able to intervene and help someone to get a new start in life.
Great. That, we could close now.
Wait great. A minute.
Go ahead, Kara.
Yeah, that's great, and I agree with everything that Daryl was talking about there. One of the things that I always want to keep at the forefront, and I probably sound like a broken record, but that's okay, is to always have those directly impacted at every single table and really be in leadership positions and really be in collaboration. I love this. We are very special in Southeast Alaska. Juneau is so fortunate to have the leadership that we have in Department of Corrections in many arenas, and just creating this space where we can have these conversations. And so I'd like to elevate that and empower other leaders coming from incarcerated backgrounds in really raising up into this community together. This is also our community. It's not us versus them. It's not this disconnect. It's just our community, building our community. We also want safety. We also want to see these things come to fruition. We also, and one of the biggest impacts is always going to be, you know, the children and the family, because if you have a broken family, it's a broken community. So when we start, you know, really nailing these things, it's really bringing families together, and then that's going to, you'll see it just start in the long term making a huge difference. So, yeah, that's my...
Great. Anybody on the goals, what we're working on here, our goals for the Juneau Reentry Coalition?
I think strengthening our collaboration, too, even further, because that seems to be like the glue that's going to keep us together as well as have that long-term sustainability. We have the most incredible, diverse group of some of the most, you know, effective people and agencies and all of that, depending on, you know, law enforcement, those directly impacted, you know, all of the different people are involved, the Second Chance Act. I mean, everyone's doing their part. And so changing also the public perception is incredibly important. We're changing the perception by just being out there and doing it and being out in the community. And I believe that is, like Christina was saying earlier, changing hearts and minds. That's where it's at.
Great.
Terry, I need to add as staff one thing that I'm working on, but it really is to operationalize Juneau's connection to those like Department of Corrections. And what that really means is, how do we communicate so that when somebody comes out of incarceration, and how do we help them immediately? And we have this hierarchy. We have this Alaska Prisoner Reentry Initiative, but right now it's still theory. So operationalizing that to make sure that we have boots on the ground, whether it's a case manager, whether it's a community coordinator, whether it's staff, whether we can operate a reentry center to really make a difference.
Very good. Thanks. Christina.
Hi, this is Christina. I think that a dream for myself, and maybe I can speak for others on this, that a long-term goal for the Juneau Reentry Coalition is to evolve, you know, to make it bigger than 20, 30, 40 people, you know, to make it hundreds, you know, to bring in more and more people from the agencies, to bring in more reentering citizens and peers, because without the agencies, we can't make the Reentry Coalition evolve. Without the reentering citizens and peers, we cannot make the Reentry Coalition evolve. We got to keep this circle going, and we got to keep making this bigger and grow so that we can all keep making a difference together in our community, again, to make this a safer, better place for all of us, you know, standing together, working together. So that is, in hopes, you know, a long-term goal for the Reentry Coalition that we can make happen all together.
Yep, great. Well, we just have about 2 minutes left. Anything wrap up? Anything you want to add?
Well, I would like to add one thing, and I'm touching on what's already been said. In the criminal justice field, we talk a lot about serving and protecting. And from the DOC perspective, our job is to serve and protect you, the listener, the member of the public. But I'd like to emphasize that we can do that so much better and so much more effectively if you join us. And so I would encourage anyone who's listening to this program, come out to our meetings. Come be a part of this, because the bigger and more involved we are as a coalition, the more effective we are as a coalition. And there really is no limit to the good that we can do.
And if that great plug again for Dawn's phone number, 321-4970, if you want to find out more about becoming part of the Juno Reentry Coalition, there will be a website coming up soon that's going to be launched, but it's not there yet. And you can always email or go on. Email is D. Well, I'm not going to do that again. It's too long. But you can go to the Facebook and do a Facebook search for Juno Reentry Coalition and Juno Recovery Community, and those will get you to those meeting times and places, too. Again, we've been talking with the Juno Reentry Coalition members, Christina Wigg, Kara Nelson, Don Habiger, and Daryl Webster. And my name is Terry Tibbett. I've been your moderator tonight. I also happen to be on the just for full disclosure, I happen to also be participating in the Juno Reentry Coalition.